I am here at the FS Gold Rush event to introduce Diesel X Gold, the reformulated Diesel X Gold. With me is Dennis Hastert, Speaker of the House from 1999 to 2007. 1998 to 2007. And really pivotal time in our nation's history. One of the things that you talked about here was leadership. And what's important in leadership? And you talk to these people about some of the things that you've learned in your life, especially your farming background, and what you learned about leadership and trust.
Well, I think first leadership I really got into when I started to get into the programs that agriculture offered. I was in 4-H and worked through the process in 4-H, became a chairman or the president of the county federation and did some 4-H exchange stuff, which really opened the doors for me. But, one thing I always took my hat off to 4-H, it gave kids the responsibility, especially in, from what my experience was in the animal side of 4-H, those animals were dependent on you. You had to be there morning and night and take care of them and make sure that they were well. And if you didn't do your job, you lost your investment. You lost your project. And I think it was a great lesson for kids to learn. And it's such a great lesson in responsibility. And everything we do, when you start to talk leadership or business, everything is about responsibility. If you take the responsibility, people are going to look to you, people are going to trust you, and you can develop.
People growing up on the farm, kids growing up on the farm, really seem to learn that more than other kids sometimes. Well, you also, you talked about 9/11. You were Speaker of the House when that happened, and you just talked about some of your experiences at that time. Personally, how do you feel that whole event and the aftermath changed you as a person?
Well, it changed you as far as the job that you had to do. Mm-hmm. You went from a peacetime speaker to a wartime speaker. And, all of a sudden, with a snap of a finger, you lost over 3,000 people who were victims. So you had to take care of them and take care of their, not take care of them, you had to take care of their people who were left behind, their families, and make sure that you New York running again and Washington, D.C. running and all these people. So there's a lot of responsibilities there, and we spent 9 months working to do it. But it also puts you in a situation where you were responsible for young men and women who were wearing uniforms in faraway places, and you needed to make sure that they had the equipment and the training and the wherewithal that they could do their jobs. And it was a different kind of war. You were fighting a war not against, lined up armies with tanks and flags and airplanes. You were fighting against an unseen enemy that was part of the population in both Afghanistan and Iraq. It was just a different type of time. But, I remember walking in the hospitals of Bethesda and Walter Reed and seeing these young kids with, their legs blown off or part of their face injured because of an IED or an arm blown off. And, most of those kids were saying, Mr. Speaker, when can I get back to my outfit? I mean, it was a tremendous patriotism in these people. And, unless you are face-to-face with those folks day in and day out, you really can't understand the great pride and how much we owe to them. And luckily, they're going to be the future generations leaders of this country.
Well, and you also talked about how in the aftermath, how Congress and the entire country really pulled together.
Oh, we really did. And I like I said, I walked away from that press conference and people broke out into God Bless America, and there's a shiver that went down my spine. I said, this country will be okay. We'll pull together. And we did. And for 9 months, we had an extraordinary bipartisanship working together, and we did the things we had to do.
Now, let's talk about energy policy. The 2008 Farm Bill and the energy title in the 2008 Farm Bill, what you think is important about that?
Well, we made sure that that I always believed that farmers were best off when they sold more than a commodity. If they could sell something that had a value-added project, and not exactly off the farm, but when we saw ethanol plants spring up, we saw the ability to do biodiesel, and when you look at across our cornfields in the Midwest and see one out of every four rows of corn that goes towards ethanol, you know that you're securing a price that farmers can put a crop in the field and make a living. And we've been through too many years when you put a crop in the field and you can't make a living. So by having those types of products that you can do, biodiesel and ethanol, and developing new markets. I don't care if it's a soy sauce factory in Joliet, Illinois. What you are is creating that secondary market or that extra margin so that farmers can be successful. And we've been very successful on being able to take our corn products and make it into energy. At the same time, our products are desirable overseas, and we shipped an unbelievable amount to China and other places. Well, unfortunately, in a sense, fortunately, prices go high. So, you know, people who don't want you to succeed in being successful in ethanol make up these stories about, well, there's a food shortage and cost of cattle feed's too high, and I think you can probably trace all that back to the guys in the PR departments of oil companies. But, you know, that's what the game's all about. You need to go out there and fight for your fight. You can't sit back and not and be combative, especially in a world of politics. And if you want politicians to make sure that we can do some things as far as ethanol policy and biodiesel, you have to get your politician to go out and fight for you. More than just talking to him and educate him, you got to make him a believer.
You went through a few farm bills, and we're possibly, maybe, having another farm bill here in 2012. It looks like it could be very, very different with this, how high prices are right now, how good things are in the farm economy. What do you think about that? If you were in Congress right now, what would you think about what might happen with the next farm bill?
Well, I think you'll see some of the things that have been in the farm bill, especially some of the subsidies that farmers have come to grow to rely on, whether we really need them or not, are going to be gone just because of the shortage in the budgets. Trying to get down to a balanced budget, Lord knows when, but trying to get there. And you're going to see a lot of these superfluous things out. Some of the conservation parts are just not going to be in there anymore. And they may come back sometime, but it may be a long time. So what we need to do in the farm community is make sure, and I have two farms myself, so I know what I'm talking about. We're going to make sure that we keep those markets for our products that we have and can be independent of the government-type subsidies.
Now, when you look at Congress today and the presidential election coming up, what are some of the things that run through your mind?
Well, first thing that runs through my mind is energy policy that affects every farmer's pocketbook, and a lot of farmers that grow corn, they're growing a commodity that goes into an energy product, and you know, we need to have our sole source, or not our sole source, but we be able not to be dependent on energy coming from overseas. And we have the ability. I mean, we have the fracking ability today to get gas and oil out of the ground. We have the ability to pipeline down from Canada. We have the ability to do deep drilling in the Arctic Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. We need to do all those things. We need to do everything to make sure that we have a constant supply of energy. Somebody told me the other day that we have more oil rigs than any other place in the world put together. But we're sometimes pumping on land that's marginally productive. We need to make sure that in the rich oil reserves and gas reserves, we have, when we go out and procure that. Now, we face a government that in the Department of Energy and the Department of Transportation and the Department of EPA and on, they're putting up policies that make it very difficult to do those things. So farmers need to be aware of what's happening in Washington and what's happening in administration, and they have to make their own choice on how they're going to vote, but that vote does make a difference in the future.
All right, my last question, what have you been doing since 2007?
Well, you know, I thought I was going to retire, but I found out that I'm probably going to wear out and not rust out. And so I've been traveling. I'm on a speaking circuit. I do a lot of pro bono speeches and going to teach universities and colleges and junior colleges around, because I think it's just a good thing that kids can see members of Congress, former members of Congress, are just really real people. And I do that, and I'm on the board of Chicago Mercantile Exchange. We've been a little challenged lately with MF Global, so that's been an interesting ride. And I'm doing some things on energy conservation, so it's been a lot of fun.
All right. And are you optimistic about the future of our country and of agriculture?
Look, and I'm always optimistic about the future of the country because Americans are great people. They're great. You know, we got heroes all around us. We don't know who they are or when they're going to step up. They'll do the job when time comes. So we're going to be okay. We just kind of come up and down sometimes in this political cycle, but it's going to get better.
All right. Pleasure to meet you and to hear you speak today. Dennis Hastert, Speaker of the House, here at the FS Gold Rush event in East Peoria, Illinois. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.